All right, this is the P&B Programming Committee convening today, May 17th, 5:53, 2017. And I'm Sabrina Jacobs, the chair for KPFA of this committee. Does everybody have a copy of your agenda in front of them?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Don't sound so miserable. All right, great. So, first order of business is the roll call. Now, we don't have a secretary. We need to figure that out really quick before we get started. Let's see here. Who can be secretary? Or volunteer so we can get through this meeting. Or I could volunteer somebody. Anybody be secretary, please? No? No takers? Is that somebody's cat?
No, that's Rhonda moaning because she knows she should volunteer, but I really don't want to. And the main reason why I don't want to on this committee is I'm looking at all these motions. They're really, well, anyway, we, okay. I don't know if I'd do a great job.
How about Carol? Are you willing to do it, Carol? I have too much on my plate to do it.
Grace, I know you do.
I have to get ready for some stuff tomorrow, and I just have so many things I'm doing right now. But, Rhonda, if you would take notes, I would kind of like go over it and also support that.
Okay.
If you're willing to do it.
All right. Okay. I suppose, yes, I will. Okay, now let me ask you this. So if I get behind in my note-taking, if Otis, are you still on the call? Well, anyway, I'll be able
to... Yes, I'm on the call. I'm calling Dingman so that he can be on the call.
Okay. But I'll be able to listen to it on the stream tomorrow, right? So if I get behind in my note-taking,
yes.
I can refer to it on KPFA. Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'm willing to do the roll calls since I think I have the roll call here somewhere.
Oh, okay. Shoot. Yeah, I'm not prepared for this. I don't even have the members. I don't even have a pen.
Well, I can do the roll calls for the, what do you call it, for the attendance, and I can email you with who's here, all right?
Okay.
And what the names are.
Yeah, and I will email you, Rhonda, the committee membership.
Okay.
Okay, so how about if we take the roll?
Yeah.
But I need to get a pen. Oh, I'm so unprepared. Okay.
Me too. I'm going to have to get on my laptop as well as my phone.
Here, I can go ahead and call
okay.
the roll.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and call the roll.
I'll do it if it's... okay.
Oh, sorry. I got it.
Okay. All right.
Okay, here we go. Grace Aaron.
Here.
David Beaton.
Here.
Thank you. Jim Brown. Meredith Cordisco. James Dingman.
Right, yeah, I just got on. It takes me like 18 million calls to get in here. Anyway.
Thank you. Anissa Faruqi.
Yeah.
Anissa Faruqi.
Okay.
No Anissa. Okay, Rhonda Gardner.
Present.
Sabrina Jacobs is present. Vadra Kilgore.
Power is present.
All right. Mike Lewis.
Here.
All right. Eric Ramey?
Present.
All right. Thank you. Fernando Velasquez? Fernando Velasquez? Tom Voorhees? Tom Voorhees? Carol Wolfley?
Here.
Okay. And Lisa Wong?
Here.
Okay, great. All right. So, two people in question. We have Fernando and Anissa. They have not. Anissa's MIA.
And this is also Fernando has, this is Anissa's second meeting that she's missed. She was at the first meeting. I don't know what's happened. I haven't seen her.
Okay. And Fernando has not been on any of the meetings. So these folks need to be notified. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So let's move on here. All right. So we need timekeepers.
I will keep time.
Okay.
And would you like me to do both? Length of utterance as well as agenda items?
That would be great.
Okay.
Be great. All right. So we need to approve the agenda.
Okay. I think you said you wanted to change that to 2 minutes, Sabrina, right?
The agenda approval? Yeah. Change that to 2 minutes. My bad.
I'd like to move that we approve the agenda.
We have a second?
Carol Wolfley, second.
Oh, crap. Okay. And now, let's see here. Hold on, just lost my place. Okay. Let's see here. So, this open session minutes approval. That's from last time.
Okay, we didn't approve the agenda yet, and I have a suggestion about the agenda.
Okay.
This is Grace. Can I be recognized?
Okay, Grace.
Okay. Actually, William Heerwagen explained to us on the audit committee that there's no such thing as excused absences in Pacifica committees, that if somebody's not present for two meetings in a row, the chair or the secretary is to notify that person that if they don't attend the third meeting, that they will be removed from the committee. And the reason for this is non-attendance has caused these committees not to be able to reach quorum, which has been distressing in the past. So there's no excused absences, I guess, unless the committee wants to enter in, make a special rule of accepting excused absences. So I think we should take number 7 off the agenda, excused absences.
All right, that sounds good to me.
Is that the motion? I second it. Carol Wolfley?
Anyone opposed? Who is it? Hi, Jim.
I agree with Grace in spirit, but I also think we have to be flexible. Sometimes people may not be able to come. So it shouldn't be like so rigid that you know people have busy lives. Sometimes they can't do things in unexpected times.
This is Sabrina for the stack and column itself. I don't think it's rigid. I don't think the rules are rigid. I mean, all we had to do is get in touch with one of us. They've all had our contact information. We could have called and said, "Hey, I can't make it to the meeting, or I need to be removed from the committee." So. I don't think the rules are rigid at all.
This is Eric to the stack.
Eric, go ahead.
2 minutes is up. Do you want to extend, Sabrina?
Let's go ahead and vote on it.
This is Eric. I'd like to go to the stack for about 30 seconds.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we had a member on one of our committees who was terminally ill. And we were not going to kick him off. I'm just going to put it like that. I mean, there's exceptions to everything. I mean, there may be a need to be uniform. As I said, the man was terminally ill. during the summer here. I mean, these are the summer months. Conceivably, people are on vacation. I'll just leave it at that.
But you found out that he was terminally ill. How did you find out? Because he actually communicated with you. These people aren't communicating with us.
I resent that. That is awful what you just said. He did not communicate.
No,
the man was in a coma.
Okay, well, we're trying to get in touch with these people. It's not like we haven't tried to get in touch with them.
Hello, this is Catherine calling in.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. Carol Wolfley for the Stack.
Hi.
Okay, go ahead, Carol.
What I was understanding Grace to say is that there is a rule that after three times, if someone has missed, then it interferes with our having quorum, which, you know, it takes us about 20 to 30 minutes to get quorum. So what I'm understanding is that there can be some exceptions when the committee decides that. So maybe we don't even need a proposal if that's... Were you making a proposal, Grace, or were you just letting us know?
You know, if I can withdraw my motion, I just wanted to take excused absences off the agenda, but leave it on.
Okay, thank you.
Let's just approve the agenda the way it is, if that's okay with everyone.
So,
Sabrina?
Yeah, that's fine.
So we have a motion to approve the agenda, and I seconded.
Sabrina?
Any
Everyone, if there's any objections.
I just did, Grace. Any objections? Okay. Next on the agenda item, let's see here. We got two motions. And these are by Grace, the first one. Grace, would you like to go ahead and read that motion?
Sure.
Okay.
It is that the job descriptions of all Pacifica program directors include the following. The program director is expected to improve the listenership of the station. If the station does not subscribe to Nielsen ratings, the listenership shall be estimated based on the following metrics, each one given equal weight. A, the number of online listeners tabulated by an analysis of the information available on stats.pacifica.org and or individual downloads or online listeners tracked on individual station websites. B, the gross revenue of the station as improved listenership generally is reflected in improved revenue. C, increased membership as improved programming builds larger audiences and results in more listener support and loyalty. Should this be considered, oh no, then somebody added, should this be considered in a smaller working group, refined, and then brought back to the committee? Anyway, it's on the agenda now, so we can discuss it in this committee, I guess. That's it.
Okay. So would you like to motivate
this back?
Okay, Catherine. Go ahead.
Did you call on me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, thanks. Sorry for getting to the meeting late, but I would think that in order, I sort of understand the motion, but I don't think that programming in the absence of any kind of marketing can achieve those goals. So, I just feel that there needs to be some acknowledgement that the radio station, the programs need to be promoted, marketed.
Okay. Anybody else like to speak to this motion? Okay, go ahead. Respond.
Great. Yes. I think that listening to KPFK and other stations, a lot of the programming is good, but a lot of it is subpar. and mm-hmm. very little program changes. There doesn't seem to be much program direction in terms of removing poorly produced, low listenership programs from the grid and replacing them with higher listenership. There are plenty of really good programs across the network that can be put on our air. And I think it's necessary for there to be some measurable criteria for evaluating programs. The other thing is, I spoke with a very seasoned executive from a radio executive back a long time ago, and I asked him the question, if you improve programming, does it increase the listenership right away? And he said, well, in the case of your type of radio, nonprofit radio, you have the general listenership out there that doesn't know your station, but you have your loyal listeners. And if you improve your programming, your loyal listeners will stay tuned in longer, and you'll get an immediate jump in your listenership. And I found that to be true. If I turn on KPFK, which I do frequently, and I don't like the show, I turn it off. But if I like it, I will keep listening longer. So you get an immediate boost in listenership. Also, I think it's a red herring to say that we can't improve programming until we do have the money for marketing. That's a catch-22. We'll never have the money for marketing or advertising. And possibly the program director needs to put shows on where the hosts themselves are willing to do their own social media outreach and other marketing on their own. We don't have the resources to do that. But if Catherine or anyone else wants to add that to the program.
Point of personal privilege. This is Ron Garner. Someone needs to mute your phone, please. I can't hear anything Grace is saying. It seems to have stopped now. I was close to it.
I don't disagree that we need a promotion. I agree, but I think that we also need programming improvement, and I think that that's the job. It should be expected of the program directors that the thing that they do as program directors is improve the programming. Even really good programming can always be improved.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, this is Jim Dingman. I'd like to speak to this.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
All right. My opinions on these issues are pretty well known. I've never shied away from it. I agree with Kathy, and I agree with Grace at the same time. We probably, down the road, have to consider a whole bunch of motions and suggestions in order to implement marketing along the lines, or figure out ways to, without the resources that we really need, to get advertising in. But I think that we have to start really, and I don't think it's all, the burden should not simply be on the program director. I think it's much more complicated than that. However, I do think we have to start putting these kind of things into motion, because all the stations, basically, including, you know, all the West Coast stations, all the stats basically stink. And the only way we're going to get out of this mess is that if we collectively figure out all sorts of different methods, including this, as one measure among many, to try to hold certain people responsible for trying to do certain things, and just continue to creatively figure out other parts of the puzzle to try to solve. Okay? Because right now, nothing's going on, as far as I can see. If I have to hear somebody from KPFA, a general manager, start bragging at an LSB meeting about forward promotion, and this is 2017, and I remember hearing these kind of debates at WBAI in 1991, I don't really consider much progress has been made. So I think we should vote on these kind of measures, and we should simply be creative and figure out other things to accompany the kind of things that Kathy's talking about and other measures that we haven't even thought about yet.
Carol Wolfley for the stack.
Rhonda Garner after Carol.
Okay. Carol, I'll go first. I think that I know at KPFA we don't have a lot of cross-promoting as far as the show to show, and there are a few carts
that folks have done, paid and unpaid, that advertise their shows. So I think just starting with the infrastructure that we already have available to us, which is cross-promoting and making cards, making that mandatory, I think that would make a difference. And as far as putting this under the program director, most definitely this is something that needs to be put under the program director's purview. Carol, go ahead.
Thank you. So I am really wanting to keep us focused in our motions and not – so evaluation of programming is a huge issue, and the role of the program directors in evaluating programming is a huge issue. So we have two – I'm seeing we have two motions here related to that. I would like, and I would really support, Catherine, if you would want to write up a motion and work with Jim on a motion that would really address marketing, because I think that's it's because these are such huge issues, it's important to have them be really clear and really focused and really accountable, because I think what we're trying to get here is accountability, and so that would be my, and I wonder, Catherine, if that is a possibility that you would be willing to work on a separate motion that has to do with marketing.
This is Catherine. May I respond?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I don't know that I would want to work on a separate motion with regard to marketing. I am looking to expand the concept of what we're talking about, or what you've been talking about, as I understand it. I understand the desire to make program directors accountable. Sorry, I'm actually in the street so I can have this phone call. But it's just the reality of the situation that really what's needed is a level of teamwork that definitely can be orchestrated by the program director. But from my experience, and WBAI has endured maybe almost at least half a dozen program directors in the last couple of years, that edicts don't work. And so I guess I'm just looking for a broader conversation to understand the kind of teamwork it requires to do what we want to do. So I don't know that I would want to do it separately. I think it needs to be looked at holistically.
Can you roll it?
Erica, the stack, if I might.
Okay.
Dave Beaton to the stack.
Okay, so we got Rhonda, Eric, and David. Rhonda, go ahead.
I just wanted to speak in support of the motion. I think that, for example, at KPFT, we do not have a program director, and it is not likely that we're going to have one anytime soon. I think that we need to set the bar high, so we could always go back in and amend this. But I agree that it's a step in accountability. Also, too, considering, you know, how delicate it is in removing a show for good cause or whatever, I think that we have to demonstrate that the show is not performing. So, therefore, I support this motion, and I hope the committee will, too. Thank you.
Okay. Eric?
Okay, I'm going to mirror what my colleague just said, that we do not currently have a program director, and it's readily apparent we won't have one soon. But let me just ask, I'm looking at item B under that motion. Is it appropriate to address that at this point?
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. We don't necessarily have, in Washington, we don't necessarily have an increase in listenership. It has the appearance of that, but we've had some drop-off, too, just because of the nature of the area, very transient. But what we do have is an increase in revenue, and I'm going to suggest that the increase in revenue should offset, perhaps, a non-increase in listenership. because based on what I'm hearing for the last couple of years, we're becoming, our decisions are being made based on revenue, or being revenue driven. So it occurs to me, if our revenue goes up by about 25% and our listenership holds steady or only goes up a point or two, that that should suffice. I don't think they should be intertwined. It's not appropriate, I think, for them to be intertwined. We have 95% of our listeners do not contribute. I'm not sure how that was determined, but that's the determination. And our last drive, we had a substantial increase in revenue, and we're looking like that right now. So you can increase the listenership all you want. If you don't have the revenue that's associated with it, it's null and void.
Okay. David?
Yes. Boy, that's an interesting conversation there about revenue and listenership or participation, because I don't measure at the station I'm at, I don't measure it based on revenue. So, you know, you could have one person give you a lot of money and have one listener, 10,000 listeners. It's kind of crazy. I got to think about what you just said, because it's interesting. But I want to go back to the motion that says that we want to include this in the job description. I think it would be appropriate to have a copy if there's an existing job description, because I don't know what other factors are in the job description. Is there one that doesn't exist, or is there one that does exist? If so, we should have reference to that to be able to vote on this. That would be my first thing. Second is that the station that I work at, we run a programming committee. And I like Catherine's thing using the word team. And we have a team that decides programming and evaluates programming. And we don't base it solely on revenue or solely on listenership. But we also have joint ownership of changes that we make, because the committee is a diverse group. Putting all this in the hands of one program director, and say he has a poor station manager, he's going to fail. So there's a couple questions there.
All right, this is Jim. I'd like to speak again.
This is Jim. Ron, I would like to speak again as well, after Jim.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Jim and then Rhonda. Jim, go ahead.
All right. First of all, I've seen descriptions of program director job descriptions. I've seen the descriptions of development directors, and all these kind of issues are in them. I mean, this is like a no-brainer. Every station should have somewhere in their files the job descriptions for program directors, general managers, and development directors that include these kind of things. Perhaps not necessarily Arbitron and Nielsen ratings, but all these kind of descriptions are in every single Pacifica job description I've ever seen over the past 25 years. So we can certainly dig them up and perhaps share them, but I know that that's a fact. Secondly, I think that the conversation about team and all that, I agree with that. I just think that we're at a point now where we have to perhaps think about that also. No program counselors are good. I've been on one. I was elected one for 2 years. But that ultimately did not influence programming dramatically. That was just simply an advisory task. And I think we're so much in the hole right now that we really have to think about putting some sort of metrics on these program directors. And in terms of gross revenue versus improved listenership, it's interesting that the station in Washington has a different kind of situation. But usually, growth in listenership is what creates revenue. One of the reasons why Gary Noel is such a money maker for Pacifica in New York, with all the gnats with that, is that he at one point had 12,500 listeners per hour. No other show in the station had those statistics. That's why we have these constant fights about the kind of premiums he attracts. If all the other shows had that amount of listenership, we wouldn't be having these kind of arguments. So we really have to really think about the different components to put in place. And I support this measure along with other measures that have to be put in place along the lines of what other people suggest. We all have to work creatively to think about how to change the situation. And this is a good first step.
Okay. Sabrina for the stack. Rhonda, go ahead.
Sabrina, it's we are over time, and I just didn't know if we had an agreement about how long people speak at each.
No, we did not have an agreement. I apologize. I apologize. Well, we're at 6:24. I vote to extend because then that'll leave us another last 30 minutes to go over the second motion, which it sounds like it's going to take. Motion to, I'm going to put forth, can I put forth a motion to extend 6 minutes to 6:30?
Yeah.
Okay. Motion to extend this is, 6 minutes.
This mm-hmm. is Grace. I just want to say something briefly. I sent out the KPFA program director job description for all of you to see. I've seen a number of job descriptions for the program directors in Pacifica, and they're all good, but except it doesn't state definitively that there's a criteria for their evaluation.
Okay, let's go ahead and vote to extend five. Let's go ahead and vote to extend 5 minutes. Are there any objections? That's okay, no worries. Any objections? Okay. All right, so we are extending 5 minutes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So,
okay.
So the point of the motion is to put a specific requirement for the program director, that the program director improves the programming and that shows up in measurable ways. Because if we don't, we have a declining listenership, declining revenue, and declining membership across the network. So we have to change what we're doing. We can't keep doing the same things. We have to make changes. I agree.
All right, Rhonda, let me cut you off, Grace. We only got a few minutes. Grace, go ahead. Or Rhonda, go ahead.
Sorry.
Rhonda? That's okay.
Hi, real quickly, whenever I spoke before, I was speaking to Grace's second motion. I was on the wrong motion. I do support this motion, but I am concerned, like David mentioned, about not all programs are going to meet this criteria, but they are can still be good programming and mission worthy. So this motion I might want to explore a little more, like have more conversation about it. But I don't see a problem in approving it as it is now. That's okay. Thank you.
Okay. The way that I'm reading this motion is that it's a part of a job description. We all have different cultures at our stations. We're all in various segments of disarray. Some of us have program directors. Some of us have program managers. Some of us have folks that are acting as such. But I think that, you know, once we're all able to, and I'm very hopeful of this. Maybe I'm being idealistic, but I'm very hopeful that we're all going to be able to get on our feet and we're all going to be able to have program directors. And this motion is specifically speaking to that particular job description for the program directors. They have to be responsible for that. It's easy to get sucked into doing a bunch of other stuff because there's so much to do, especially with a nonprofit. That's just the structure, the nature of the beast. But this is, I don't think there's anything wrong with having this particular job description for a program director, because that is what they should be focusing on. If they're focusing on making sure that we have good programming, you know, whether it's from a paid staff or unpaid staff, then they're doing their job. If they're not, then there's something wrong there. And we've got 3 more minutes. Anybody else want to speak to
Carol
this motion?
Carol Woodley for the staff, KPFA.
Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, at KPFA, we have a program director, and she has never been evaluated. She's been working for a couple of years, and I think it needs to be part evaluation of our programming, and our program directors need to be a regular part of our process. And I think that there are possibilities for, you know, having other motions, but I want to speak in support of this motion and hope we can pass it, because I think it will help clarify that we do want to look at listenership, and even in programming like, you know, related to disabilities or related to a certain community, I mean, you can still look at increases in listenership in that community. you know, that may be a smaller community, but we can still look at listenership. So that's my thought.
Okay, anybody else with a thought?
Yeah, Jim, I'd just like to say something quick. We should try to be getting for each station as many listeners per week as possible. And the comments about team, I totally agree with. I mean, two or three people made those comments. You know, if we had 500,000 people per week listening to each station, we would. That's the kind of goal we should aim for. You know, if we had 3,500 people an hour listening to each show, we would be in a whole different ballgame. So we just got to really figure out what's going on. And Hill himself, he wrote all those different tracks. He said if a show doesn't make enough money and it can't have support, it's mediocre, it should go. And, you know, people have to confront these kind of things. So,
okay.
You know, I support this motion.
All right. Okay, we're going to take it to a vote. Time's up. Acting Madam Secretary.
Yes, that's Rhonda.
Okay.
Do you want me to, are you ready to take the roll, Rhonda? I can take it.
I am. Do I have to read the motion again? Does anyone need the motion repeated?
How much of the motion are we voting on the part that we're talking about breaking out into committee and coming back on, or are we voting on all of it?
Oh, we're just going to vote on the first motion, Vajra.
The first motion has an A, B, and C.
Yeah, A, B, and C is a part of that one, motion number one.
Well, then it says should just be considered in a smaller working group, refined, and then brought back to the committee. Are we voting on that?
No.
I think a working group would be a backward thing to do, frankly. This is a no-brainer.
No, we're not. We're not voting on that. That was... shouldn't have been put into the motion, I guess. Let me put through another one.
Madam Chair, would you like for me to go to a vote?
Yes.
Would you like me to call the roll?
Yes.
The vote?
Go ahead. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Thank you.
Okay. Grace Aaron, KPFK.
Yes.
David Beaton, WSLR.
Yes.
Jim Brown. Jim Brown, how do you vote? I'll come back to you. Oh, wait. Is Jim Brown... I apologize, guys. Whenever, obviously, I wasn't prepared to be the secretary, and I was getting organized, and I feel like I am, but I don't know who's actually here. Is Meredith here?
No, she's not.
No.
Okay. All right. Jane Dingman?
Yes.
Anissa Peruki is absent. Rhonda Garner votes yes. Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
I don't know how to pronounce the name. Vajra? Kilgore from WBAI. Mike Lewis.
Yes.
Thank you, Mike. Eric.
Ranger? I'm going to abstain.
Fernando Velasquez. Borges?
Did you call my name? This is Catherine.
Catherine, I have not called your name, and you're actually not on the document that I was sent that I'm calling the roll from. I'll call you at the end. Thank you for letting me know.
Okay.
All righty. All right. Carol Wolfley?
Yes.
All right, Lisa Wong?
Yes.
And Catherine? David?
No.
Okay. All right. So we did not get a vote from Meredith or Anissa. or Fernando or Tom. And it looks like we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yeses. And we have 1, 2 abstentions and 1 no vote. This motion passes.
Okay.
And our time is up on that.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Okay. So we'll move on to the second motion, also proposed by Grace.
I just have a request for information. Who was the second abstention?
The abstentions were Vajra Kilgore and Eric Rainey.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. And if I'm not saying anyone's name correctly, if you just let me know so I can learn, say it properly.
Okay. Second motion, Grace. Would you like to go ahead and read it or want me to? Grace? Okay, I'll go ahead and read it. This
Sorry,
is the second motion proposed by Grace.
I'll get it. 1 second.
I have it. I could read it as well if y'all need me to.
Okay.
Okay. All right, listenership at all five stations has been declining as far as we can tell without subscribing to Nielsen ratings. Declining listenership has resulted in declining membership and income. This has been forcing stations to lengthen fund drives and resort to other measures to make ends meet. It is imperative that that programming improvement be a top priority. Therefore, it is necessary to evaluate programs on an individual basis. Thus, the program director is charged with evaluating every program using the following criteria: Nielsen ratings, amount of money generated by the program, amount of membership generated by the program. Does the program content conform with Pacifica mission, willingness of the program to create learning opportunities for interns, including affording them some on-air experience, sound quality of the program, production values of the program. Does the program subject matter add diversity to our grid in terms of appeal to varied demographics and interests? Does the program have a social network presence, and is the program and or producer promoting through social media and other outreach? Programs should be judged based on their placement on the grid. In other words, as morning drive time has a higher potential audience, it should be expected to produce more income than shows in a less advantageous time slot. The program director should first evaluate all programs involving paid staff. The next evaluation priority will be all programs in daytime hours during the week and on weekends. Okay. All right, Grace, would you like to go ahead and motivate?
Yeah, I think that we've been negligent in not evaluating programming. Of course, the program director could get help from a program committee or from the LSB or whatever help he can get in doing this evaluation. But ultimately, the responsibility is for the program director to evaluate programming. Because we need to improve our programming. We need to improve our listenership. There's been a steady decline in listenership over many years, and it's really harming us and making it difficult for us to sustain the network. So it's necessary for us to get in these standard practices so that we can move forward and improve things. That's all I have to say. I think it's self-explanatory.
Eric, to the stack, if I may.
Absolutely. Eric, I'd like to put myself on the stack. Sabrina, Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, item 2 in the motion where it says the amount of money generated by the program, that's slightly problematic in D.C. The communities that are targeted for certain programs do not result in a lot of revenue. I mean, in at least 2 cases. And we attempted to make some changes in the on-air personnel. It's been determined that those communities are underserved and that they need to be served. So the bottom line, I'm saying, again, this is a case where the two should not be intertwined. It's the communities that have, the primary function here is the communities which are served. So that's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Eric. I would have to say that kind of echoing what Eric is saying, I think with and echoing what the motion is, what you motivated to, Grace, but I think that this list, 1 through 9, I think all of that needs to be formulated and molded to each, the culture of each demographic. Houston is different. D.C. is different. New York is different. Berkeley's different. L.A. is different. I can only speak for Berkeley and that, you know, I'm preempted whenever there's a fund drive. So I wouldn't even know. I mean, I've only been on like maybe 4 or 5 times out of the 5 years that I've had the show. So, you know, it's kind of hard for us to weigh that when we're looking at preemption. You know, imminent preemption. Like, no, we're not going to have your show on. We're going to have some fun drive special or what have you. But I think that if this list is molded to each, to reflect the culture of each station and reflect the rules that are presently in place at each station or what have you, then I think it's something that could be implemented. So I would want to have this motion amended before I would vote yes on it. Anybody else?
All right, good. Yeah, Jim Dingman, I'd like to speak to this. First of all, I've been looking at the statistics of Pacifica since 1990 at all the stations. And when I was on the LAB, the Local Advisory Board, which was the old system, and on the program council, I was privy to look at the numbers of all the stations, including every person here, Houston, Berkeley, LA, and Washington. And, you know, these are no-brainer kind of things, you know, like Arbitrons, Nielsen ratings. That's one of the things, not the only criterion, but an important criterion. The amount of money generated by the program, admittedly, that has to be sort of weighed back and forth. But then the reason why shows are preempted is because, and we can get into this, it's probably worthwhile to talk about down the road with fundraising and relationship programming, is that those shows don't make any money. And so right now we're in a situation where I don't really, you know, at this point I'm so impatient with all the kind of justifications that people bring up for lack of money that, you know, here we're trying to put in some criterion to judge how to evaluate the show, and let's bring other things on in terms of that. But I do think that this, we just got to carry the ball, get sort of things started, and then add the kind of comments that other people have made to further fine-tune how to evaluate shows. I'm pretty sure that in most stations, most programs have not been evaluated for many years in any kind of criterion. And the only evaluation they're given is how much money they make, and that's ridiculous, as we know. All these other issues should be brought into play, and that's why we have to start thinking along these lines, and I support this motion.
Rhonda Garner for the STAC.
Carol Wolfley for the STAC.
Dave Beaton for the STAC.
All right, so me, Rhonda, Carol, and then Dave. I don't know, I'm kind of hearing two things coming from you, Jim. For one,
Roger for the STAC, I said a while ago.
I'm sorry?
Roger for the STAC, I said a while ago.
I don't remember hearing you say that you needed to be on the STAC. Did I miss that, you guys?
I want to, but I don't, yeah, people are...
Are you on speakerphone? Maybe that's why I missed you.
I didn't hear it.
Okay, so I didn't hear it either.
Somebody
All right, so as far as with the, if you're on speaker, whoever's on speakerphone, take yourself off because it makes it difficult for me to hear you, and I have very good hearing. Okay, now as far as with, you know, maybe because they don't make any money, we don't know that for sure. That's why I'm saying that these things need to be weighed individually for each station, Jim. I think that that's important. That needs to be, you know, a part of the evaluation of a program. It needs to be a part of the what that program is responsible for. You know, they immediately just take some of us off because of where we are on the grid. So if you're in a down day slot or a time slot or whatever, and you're not in a high-ranking day part, like in the evening or in the morning,
then, yeah, you're not, it's going to be hard to make money. It's going to be hard to get people calling at 2 o'clock. So I think that that's why I think that this motion is good, but it needs to be fashioned for each individual patient.
Okay. Catherine, Rhonda, for the set.
Okay, Rhonda, Carol, Badra, okay. No, David, Badra, and then Catherine. Okay, Rhonda, go ahead.
Sabrina, I appreciate what you had to say, but I do still support the motion, and this is why. I've been a programmer at KPFT for about 12, 13 years. I've had maybe two evaluations. One for sure, where the station took it very seriously. They thought all of the programmers getting one. Again, whenever I spoke before, thinking I was speaking to this person, you also want to ask him, just because you want to look at all of this information, for example, number two, amount of money generated by the program. Well, do we want to know that? Yes. Is that going to make a difference in whether they have a show or not? No, not necessarily. All things are taken into consideration. So, Sabrina, when you say, you know, you'd have to fashion it, I think that basically what should happen is those things would be fashioned once this data is acquired, and then it would be discussed. And, you know, and it would be a special fit for the special situation. Like Jim said, I think it's important that we take the ball and we run with it again, because at KPFT we have had no program evaluations. I also think that the program evaluations are extremely valuable, especially if you're considering cutting a program loose. So if I've been on the air for 12 years at KPFT and my last review was 8 years ago, and then they just come and say, hey, we're going to move your show, or, hey, you don't have a show anymore, I think it's important that we communicate, that the program director and the station are communicating with the programmer so they know the status of their show as to whether they're in a really stable place and knowing what they need to improve on or what they want them to do more of. So I support this motion as it is. And, again, I think the fashioning of it or the finessing of it would come after all the data was gathered. And, again, we should set the bar very high for the data. In my opinion, there could be things added to this. And none of them need to be excluded, because they could take them into consideration when they do the actual evaluation. Thank you.
All right. And got Carol.
Yeah, Grace, I have a proposed friendly amendment. And that would be to add to the list a number 10. That would be also input from community advisory boards, the PNB National Programming Committee. So, like, if we're making recommendations, if they think about that, stats.pacifica.org, and also audio port program sharing history. So maybe something is being shared on 50 stations or something, affiliates, that might be a consideration as well.
I second that.
Okay, Carol, if you want to go ahead and write that up.
Okay, write it up and email it back to the group, huh?
Yep, sounds good. David Beaton, you're next.
Yeah, I could support this motion, but I have also a couple of friendly amendments, and I'm sending it around to you. Let me get to it here. So on number, hold on a second, on number three, amount of membership generated by the program, I would put on air and off air. I think revenue can be generated in various ways for the station. If I could give you more detail if you'd like. I would add a number 11, because I support the amended number 10. And number 11, I put the amount of volunteer participation of the programmer in station operations and events. I think that's important. There are key volunteers, programmers that have the ability to volunteer and maybe not participate financially. And I think there might have been one other change. On number five, I put willingness of the programmer to create learning opportunities for interns and new programmers, including affording them some on-air experience. I don't know how new programmers are trained, but it's very important that trained programmers, existing programmers, open the doors and get new programmers involved, allow them to sit in. And I think it's important that we create that community radio family, and cross-training people, programmers training each other, is really critical to getting people to know each other. And that's all.
Okay. And then we have Vajra. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you good. Go ahead.
Good. This is all very tricky because there's never going to be a one-size-fits-all. We haven't had program evaluations in a long time. We have had, with not a program director, but a program manager who it's unclear how that happened, who has been removing shows and replacing them without saying boo to anybody whose show was removed or replaced or reshuffled or whatever until it happened. People have scarcely had time to say goodbye to their listeners. And God knows on what basis exactly these decisions are being made. It is also the case that, as somebody mentioned, that there are shows that that are absolutely necessary to the fulfillment of the mission. And actually the show that I'm a co-host, occasional substitute host for, and an associate producer for Housing Notebook, Housing Notebook traditionally was taken off the air during all the fund drives because it didn't raise money, but there's no way you can have a station in New York City that does not address issues of housing. We have made money in some pledge drives, but obviously, you know, this is to have a station like WBAI in the middle of New York City and not have a show about housing, that's the end of the station, and it's no longer fulfilling its mission at all. Right? So right. Fundraising and program quality, which should be addressed, and how people can be helped with interns and other things. Problem is that the station is not a happy place at this moment. It doesn't seem to be anyway. I don't go there a whole lot. I used to go a lot. I used to go and volunteer. I used to go and take phone calls at all odd hours just to make sure there was somebody there taking phone calls for pledges. And then the person who is now the program manager booted me. He didn't boot me. He told me I could not speak about certain subjects, at least from a particular side. Other people could speak from the other side, but I couldn't speak from this side. And I thought, why would I come here for this? Why am I going to come here and have my speech policed in the pledge room, right? So the atmosphere isn't wonderful.
Point of order. And it is completely inappropriate on a public stream to start evaluating a staff member.
You're right. I
so,
take it back.
I'm sorry. I understand, but it's not appropriate.
Yeah. Okay, well, just getting back to a one-size-fits-all is not going to work, and I think that trying to sort of micromanage each program is not going to work. I think that definitely program evaluations are great, especially if they can come with help. If it's not just about punishment, you know, like your program isn't up to whatever.
I think we're over 2 minutes.
Okay.
A point of personal privilege.
Catherine, you're actually next.
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess that's the thing. If we're not going to allow everyone to speak, I would ask that time be kept accurately.
We don't have an agreement about how long.
Okay.
So I'm going to propose 90 seconds, and I will time each person.
Eric to the stack.
Okay, Catherine and then Eric. Catherine, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I agree with a lot of what has been said, and I think if you're going to be looking at the economics of a program, you have to look at how the fund drive is being planned, if it's being planned. You know, it's a process, in order to get to be able to give producers the best opportunity. But also, fundraising is not programming. I've said it before, it's a completely different skill set. One doesn't have anything to do with the value of a program or even the money that it makes. So, for instance, Gary Null makes a big portion of the income in any given fund drive. But Gary Null doesn't pitch. He doesn't actually raise the money. Somebody else has to accompany that program in order to do the pitch in order for it to raise money. And you'll find that that's probably true at most stations. So Gary Null has a national popularity. He has products. He brings a certain audience. Yes, but he's not himself actually raising a dime. So, because he doesn't have that skill set. So I just feel that there's a way that all programs can be helped, you know, in certain pairings of someone who can pitch with the program. There are a lot of things that need to be looked at, and I feel that it's a continuing mistake to confuse the issue of fundraising with programming. And it's a mistake that's been made repeatedly, I would say at least for the last 10 years, and it's gotten us nowhere. So I don't consider that to be a new offering. To me, it sounds like the same thing that didn't work this last time as far as confusing the two of programming and fundraising. Separate issue, it should be separate motions.
Okay. Eric.
Yeah, I'm just going to say FYI. It's not a point of order or anything, but about 3 or 4 months ago, on a PNB programming committee call, there was an instruction that came out or said or clarification that said individual names should not or could not be mentioned. I'm just throwing that out there. But I'm aware of a program in the network that was very lucrative. Very lucrative. The evaluation it got was very negative, and it was removed from the air. So there seems to be a catch-22 here. I think that's something that should be looked at as well. I mean, I thought that was an unusual situation. But again, from what I'm hearing, it's almost like a forked tongue. You know, depending who you talk to, they speak out of both sides of their mouth. Saying we're not raising money. But here again, there was a case where the program was very lucrative, highly lucrative. And it was deemed that it was poor programming and it was removed. So, I'll leave it at that.
And point of clarification, that was at WPFW you're talking about, right?
Well, I'm just going to say it was in the network because last time I brought something up, there was so much pullback.
I understand. Public stream. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to speak to this? We're at 7:56. We got 4 minutes. We got time for one more speaker.
I just want to say that we have to approve the amendments that Carol and David made, and then go to the main motion. Okay. Maybe we should just go to the votes on those, or you know, see if there's any objection.
Mm-hmm. I just sent my amendment emailed it.
Okay. So you got David Beaton's amendment to the motion. I'll go ahead and read it really quick. Number one, Nielsen ratings, if available. Number two, amount of money generated by the program. Three, amount of membership generated by the program on air and off air. Four, does the program content conform with the specific mission? Five, willingness of the programmer to create learning opportunities for interns, new programmers, including affording them some air experience. Six, sound quality of the program. Seven, production values of the program. Eight, does the program subject matter add diversity to our grid in terms of appeal to varied demographics and interests? Number nine, does the program have a social network presence, and is the program and or producer promoting through social media and other outreach? 10, amount of volunteer participation of program and station operations and events. 11, input from the cab audio port. Okay. They have a problem with that amendment.
Oh, could I just read what I have, Sabrina? I had, I could make mine 11. Input from stats.pacifica.org, Community Advisory Boards, BME National Programming Committee, and AudioPort Program Sharing.
Yours would be 12. So read it again.
Input from stats.pacifica.org, Community Advisory Boards, PMB National Programming Committee, and AudioPort Program Sharing.
Got it. Okay.
All right, let's bring it to a vote. We're at 6:58. Bring it to a vote. All in favor of motion number 2, from Grace Aaron.
Okay. All right, so we're going to a vote on Carol and David's amendment to Grace's motion. Grace Aaron, how do you vote?
You want to just ask if there are any objections?
Not me.
Are there any objections?
Sabrina, right?
Are there any objections?
This is Eric in Washington. I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Are there any objections?
This is
point of order
to the motion.
Is this the motion or the amendments, Chef?
Amendments.
David? Is this David or Jim? That was just.
Yeah, this is David. No, I was just wanted to know. This is you're looking for objections to the amendments, correct?
Correct. Yes. Objections to the amendments. Yes. Objections. Hearing none, the amendments pass on through. All right. Now we vote on the motion, right?
Yes.
Okay. Madam Secretary.
Grace Aaron, how do you vote?
Yes.
David Beaton.
Yes.
Jim Brown. Jim Brown. I'll come back to you. James.
Jim Dingman, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jim Dingman. Okay, sorry about that. Yes. Okay. Rhonda votes yes. Sabrina?
Yes.
Okay. Vajra?
No.
Mike Lewis?
Yes.
Eric?
Abstain.
Fernando's not present. Tom's not present. Carol?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
And Catherine?
No.
Okay. I do believe the motion passes. Grace voted yes. David voted yes. Jim Brown voted. Jim, you didn't vote. Jim, are you there?
Jim, you voted yes.
Yeah, I'm here. I voted yes. Jim Dingman, Jim
okay.
Brown didn't vote.
It's not Jim Brown.
Yeah. He's not here.
Okay. Jim, I'm sorry, who's not here?
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
He was never here?
Right.
Okay. All right. All right, so, okay, Grace, yes. David, yes. Jim, yes. Rhonda, yes. Sabrina, yes. Vajra, no. Yeah, no. Okay, Mike Lewis, yes. Eric abstained. Fernando isn't present. Tom isn't present. Carol voted yes. Lisa voted yes. And Catherine Davis voted no.
Okay, motion
passes.
All right. Okay, so we need to set a time for the next meeting.
Doesn't Jim have a motion?
That's all right. We can skip it.
Well, we're at 7 o'clock. No, and had a hopeful hour and a half. It took about half an hour, 45 minutes trying to get quorum. So,
have a motion to adjourn. This is Dave.
We need to set the next meeting time.
Catherine, for the stack.
Catherine, go ahead.
It may be unfortunate, but I have a commitment on this third Wednesday of the month that doesn't finish until 9, so I would only be able to join the meeting at 9. Perhaps it could start a bit later if it's convenient for other people as well.
Okay, let's look up KPFCX, see what's available.
Is that 9 Central?
Work for you. Hmm?
Is that 9 Central?
9 Eastern.
Eastern, yeah.
I'm not suggesting that it change, but I'm just saying.
Catherine, I wondered if there's any way you can call in just for a little bit to help us get quorum.
Not necessarily, no. I can come and call in at 9. I mean, I may be able to, and I will if I can, but, I facilitate a group, a support group. It would be hard to break away.
On what date? On the third Wednesday or the fourth?
The third Wednesday of the month.
What about, the 17th is the audit committee, huh? I mean, the 24th is the audit committee.
Well, that's just May. We're not going to have a meeting next week anyway. That's an odd reason. We usually, the audit committee usually meets on Monday.
Are we talking May here or June? I'm sorry.
Either the last week in May, like 2 weeks from now.
That's wide open.
When is Memorial Day weekend? No, sorry.
Oh, right. Got it.
That's the 27th and 28th, if I recall.
Yeah.
Point of information, I thought we were going to spend 2 hours on this today. I thought that was what we discussed last week. That's when we talked.
35.
All right, whatever.
Not to my knowledge. No, we're going to go for an hour and a half. Are people proposing the 31st or the 7th of June?
How about if we schedule two meetings and then, never mind. It's too hard to cancel meetings of a committee.
Okay, so what's open on the, are you guys okay with Tuesdays?
I think Wednesdays are good. It's just a certain Wednesday. Is that right, Catherine? Do you have a work group every Wednesday or just
the third Wednesday of every month?
Okay. So how about the 7th of June? That's 3 weeks. I think that's a good compromise.
Yeah, and there's nothing on the calendar.
No.
Great. Okay.
Well, wait a second. Is there going to be a WBAI-LSB meeting, maybe?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Well, the 31st is the fourth Wednesday. I think it's the fifth Wednesday. Yeah, that's the fifth Wednesday. So
That looks like the week of a holiday. We're talking May.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, if we can just confirm everybody would not be negatively affected there, it might not may not be problematic.
Right.
It's okay for me.
Yeah, that's sure works for me too.
Anybody have a problem with the 31st, Joe?
Of May?
Of May, yes.
That's the fourth.
Okay.
Excuse me, the fifth Wednesday of May.
When will people from WBAII, when will you know if when your LSD meeting is?
I don't know. It's something to do with renting of space. I'm not sure what the issue is.
Oh,
wow.
I suggest that we schedule two meetings so that we can cancel one of them if it conflicts with something serious. How's that?
Okay, how about the 31st and the 7th?
Yeah. And then can one of you people, either Catherine or Jim or Vajra, let us know if there's going to be a WBAI LSD meeting on that night?
All right, no big deal.
Okay. So we'll reserve the 7th and the 7th of June and the 31st of May?
Yeah.
But point of information on what Catherine said earlier about the difference between programming and fundraising. Since Catherine has been involved in the planning of fundraising for quite a while, I think that's worthwhile to take up as a separate topic of discussion down the road.
That's okay, Jim.
I agree.
Jim, go ahead.
Great.
Yeah, that's great. Go ahead and put it in writing as an agenda item for the next meeting.
Well, I have some other things I want to do for that meeting, but anyway. But I think that's something important.
Okay, we'll write it up, put it in email for the agenda item for next meeting. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay,
I just want to be clear. One of these meetings is definitely going to be canceled. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Grace is proposing.
Okay. Okay, this is Eric again. Whatever you guys decide is fine. I'm going to drop off now. I'll just shoot an email. There's a possibility that the PFW may send a new rep in which case I'm going to help you get quorum in any event. I'll put it that way. But anyway, just send me an email. I'm going to drop off now. So good night, everyone.
Good night, Eric.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Eric.
All right. So
okay. Are we adjourned?
Yeah.
We have to.
All right.
I move to adjourn.
All right. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.